You're listening to CHSR 97.9 FM. Welcome to This Week in Fredericton, the show that takes a deep dive into the latest news from your community. In this week's episode, we sit down for a chat with Josh Steves, General Manager of the Harvest Music Festival. The annual festival will take over downtown Fredericton from September 15th to 20th. During those 6 days, there will be 150 performances taking place across six city blocks on over 20 different stages.
Josh Steves is my name. I'm the general manager at the Harvest Music Festival, and I've been in this role for about 2 years now. I've been with the organization, working for them for about 11, but 2 years as the general manager.
How would you describe Harvest to someone who's never heard of it before?
Well, if you've never heard of it before, you likely are not from Fredericton. But what would I say? Harvest, as we're in the 36th year, we're a community festival that for a week we shut down downtown essentially, and we bring in some of some world-class talent from North America, the immense amount of talent here from Canada, and also regionally. Like, we have a huge amount of local talent, also just Atlantic Canadian, but Fredericton specific, and mixed across. We have four main ticketed venues with huge headliners and up-and-coming acts. And then we have, the great part about Harvest is you can go there and see shows for free because we have multiple free stages around our street experience. And you get to, people, will go to Harvest and not actually go into the ticketed venues, which we do want them to ultimately go, but you can go to Harvest and experience it in many ways. So not only is it a week long of music, we have, brings the community together and really shows off the immense amount of talent and that we have here locally and in the Atlantic Canada as well.
Can you tell me a little bit about the history of the festival?
I will try to do it justice. I know, I like I said, I've only been around for 11 years, but I can speak a little bit to it. So in 1991 is when the Harvest kicked off, and it started, as most festivals do, as a grassroots festival that was called, as most people know, the Harvest Jazz and Blues Festival is the initial the name that we started with. And so from my understanding, we didn't actually have any tents downtown. We were using bars and venues at that time. I know the market, the Boyce Market, was a venue for quite a while. And I think I can safely say, as the 90s continued and we rolled into the 2000s, once we hit 10 years, you're starting to see our notoriety grow. And that's when, in the mid-90s, I believe, is when 10 started to come out. And you start to see, even back in those first few years when Oliver Jones would have showed up from Montreal, things of that sense, where we're starting to pull in talent from outside, and it's kind of starts to grow from a local specific or regional to what it has become, where you are seeing immense performers that have passed through here, such as Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, Lucinda Williams, we've had Sturgill Simpson, we've had Goose last year. I'm not even scratching the surface. Anyone that knows Harvest knows I'm not even close to scratching the surface on what's come through. So at this point, we've continued to grow, continued to evolve, but at the same time, we have been able to retain that sense of Harvest. It's never really gone away, because as much as we've grown and we've seen the acts kind of evolve to what we can bring in, we've never grown outside of that downtown core. We've kind of remained there, and that's truthfully one of my favorite things about the festival is it is such a collaborative beast to working with Fredericton, all business, Fredericton businesses, the city of Fredericton, and to what it's evolved to is quite impressive. To this happens every year, and you can continue to see the evolution of it as we age and try to attract new audiences. You might see some programming there, like this year we have the Beaches, Young the Giant, the Strombellas, we had the War on Drugs and Spoon 2 years ago. And so that, like, we're lucky to be able to be in a position where we can bring those acts in and show that off. So the evolution is fascinating. There's so many people that can articulate better than I just have, and who have really been around. We certainly have some volunteers that have been around all 36 years, and it's impressive to see. And I mean, I've only been around for a drop in the hat of that time, but I've always been impressed and quite fond of everything that's gone into this evolution, and you know, happy to be a part of it.
Can you tell me a little bit about where the shows are going to be taking place?
For sure, yeah. No, I'm glad to. So anyone that went last year knows that we changed things around a little bit from the previous year. So we opened up the Officer Square with how that got remodeled and looks gorgeous. So we have the TD main stage there. That's kind of our big headlining tent. And then in the barracks, in Barracks Square, we have our barracks tent, which is, you know, a little bit smaller, but also that's where Sloan's going to be. That's where the White Buffalo, the Sadie's Tara Lightfoot, local heroes Marion and the Hypochondriacs, and Warp Dogwood, Sam and the Grand Manan Bandits. So that's also there. I mean, and then the talent afterwards. I don't need to get into that right now. But we also do have this year, we're bringing back a tent that we haven't had coming out of everyone's impacted by 2020. We all know that there had those effects, and we weren't averse to that either. And so we always have kind of been growing back to the scale we had pre-COVID. And this year we're bringing back the Hoodoo House of Blues, which we used to call the Blues Court. That's actually in this new compound that's with the barracks. So while they're two separate venues, they share the same kind of communal space. And what we're trying to do there is trying to elevate that experience and kind of enhance and see what we can do and kind of create like a kind of an additional party vibe, so to speak. So if you have like a barracks ticket, you can go to the Hoodoo House and kind of flow back around. And we also have the Playhouse, you know, the Playhouse venue. We certainly have programming there. We always have a Tuesday show to kick off in the Playhouse, and then we have a closing Sunday show. The other tents run from Wednesday through Saturday, and then we kind of bookend with the Playhouse. There are also other Playhouse performances in there, but that's how that looks. And then we have free stages. So we close off Queen Street, and we have that street experience where you're going to see free stages, buskers, food vendors, you know, sponsor activations, and things like that. Kind of an extension of that Thursday night market that we have, that kind of look and feel. But we also have our Fredericton's own stage in front of City Hall, which is jam-packed with amazing Fredericton talent, Fredericton-specific talent. We have the Carlton Street stage, which down at the end of Carlton, right, the kind of we'd call the Bridge to Nowhere. We've had a stage there the last few years, and that's worked out. That's been amazing down there. We also have the Tannery stage. Now, so working with the CAP, you know, the CAP's been an amazing part of Fredericton and really grown so many of the artists that we have on stage and given them the platform to make music and have a career. So last year we partnered with the CAP to create the Tannery stage, which they've done, you know, in previous versions like in 2020 and 2021, those years, and they really pulled it off, creating all of that tannery and making it a stage. So we're doing that again. The difference this year is it is a ticketed event. Ultimate pass holders will get in for free, but it is a ticketed event. The great thing about it, it's not that much, and it gets you into the rest of the CAP and Wilsers that night. So not only do you get that early afternoon, late night tannery access, you get the rest of the night there too. So, and that's, you know, of course, what you're doing there is you're buying into the audience that the CAP has and kind of creating that as a part of Harvest too. And then pushing our pass holders and our ticket buyers who are very well versed in Fredericton and likely know the CAP, we also have an audience that might not be aware of that. So trying to kind of bring in that sense of community. What institutions do we have that we can also leverage and make use of because of the great work they're doing and incorporate it into us? So that's kind of a snapshot of the stages we have, really looking forward to seeing it pull off, especially with the Hoodoo House coming back. Like, that is, it's always nice to see a new venue kind of kick off and really pan out. And the that, as I say, the Hoodoo House of Blues, the intention there is to kind of dial into our history of the blues. And there's an amazing amount of Canadian and Quebec blues artists featured there. J.P. LeBlondy, yeah, the Sugar Darlings, Justin Saladino of Quebec, and then Danny Garwood out of Nashville, who's a young blues musician who will be coming down. So a lot of great programming in there, a lot of great programming everywhere. But that kind of is a long-winded run of our venues.
If you're just tuning in, welcome to This Week in Fredericton, the show that takes a deep dive into the latest news from your community. We're on the air every Friday from 11:30 a.m. to noon, right here on CHSR 97.9 FM. Each week's episode is also posted in full on our website, chsrfm.ca. If you have a news tip, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at news@chsrfm.ca. In this week's episode, we're talking with Josh Steves, general manager of the upcoming Harvest Music Festival, which runs from September 15th to 20th. Let's rejoin the interview and learn about some of the acts coming to play at this year's festival.
Talking about the lineup's always easy. But if I could, I guess, you know, there's a lot of artists here that people are excited for. Obviously, the Bare Naked Ladies is huge, and I mean, we knew it was going to do well, but when it sold out in like 2 days, it was shocking. And you kind of understand that a career like that with as many radio hits is going to translate like that. Something like that is, you know, lightning in a bottle. And so that's a big show. But and there's some things to hear everyone knows about. But what I always like to do is like, what should you know? What do you not know? But what should you know? So I'll kind of go through. I'll give you five names here. Drive-By Truckers. I'm a huge fan. They were here in 2016. They were amazing. I've seen them a few other times. Like, absolutely love them. If you love country rock, is not the best term for them, but they're storytellers. It's like a Steve Earle. If you don't know the Truckers, it's, you know, dialed into Steve Earle kind of sense. They're fantastic. And that's Friday night in the main stage. Sadies and Tara Lightfoot, like, these are two of the best Canadian acts that, like, musicians, however you want, if you throw away around that term, like, this, now they have their own sets, but they're the same show Friday night in the barracks. The amount of talent in that show is insane. Sloan, everyone knows about, that's not my top five. I love Sloan, but we all know about that. Eddie Ninevolt, Thursday in the main stage. He was here last year. He's back again. He's up and coming. Not everyone knows who he is, but you need to check him out. This is old school blues with like hints of Al Green in it. It's phenomenal. He's like 28, looks like he's 45. That's neither here nor there. And for a fifth, you know what? Here come the Mummies. If you haven't seen it, they're basically a funk band. It's a late night party vibe, but they're all dressed up like mummies. I can't get quite right the which tomb or what sarcophagus they're coming in or how they are, but like, they're all dressed up like mummies. You know, I'm sure bandages will be coming off as they play, as the sweat drips, but it's going to be an absolute blast. If anyone's ever been to the late night barrack shows, you know that there's an absolute party vibe, and Here Come the Mummies is going to be no different. And I think that's going to be a show that if you're at, you're going to be remembering. You know, everyone comes away from Harvest like, what's the show you remembered? And Here Come the Mummies will probably be one that they're talking about after. And so much more. I mean, we got the Beaches, we have Blackberry Smoke, Matt Anderson, another quick one, Ruby Waters opening up for Bare Naked Ladies, I think is going to be huge. I haven't even mentioned Graham Nash at Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. As you can tell, like, there's so much here. Like, if I'm mentioning the Sadies and Tara Lightfoot as one of my artists you should know about, and I've talked about all the ones you already know, like, the wealth in this lineup is incredible, which we always strive for. This year especially, I mean, there's even Blooming Marquee I haven't mentioned, Steph Strings from Australia, Joan Osborne. I could go on. Absolute Losers. Sorry, I got to stop looking at the schedule here. I'll just name them all, but it's incredible. But the great thing I'll just end with is our ability to kind of have these acts and also have local acts opening. We have Marion and the Hypochondriacs opening up for the White Buffalo. We have Warp Dogwood opening up for Slow and St. Like I've said this before, but and we've been able to do that. Tortoise Hair and the Millionaire opening up for Nathaniel Rateliff in 2018-19, I think. Connor Fox opening up for the Revivalists last year. Like being able to do that puts these artists who are already doing like a great local artists doing a fantastic job and just gives them that ability to go on a bit bigger of a stage and maybe see an audience that might not be in like doesn't dial into local music. So the ability to kind of help do that, and then they're also playing with like amazing caliber musicians who are watching them. And this year, like Waylon Napadoggin, we have that as a night show, a late night show after Blackberry Smoke. They're going to have a huge audience because there's so many tickets sold for Blackberry Smoke, and they get to stay for Waylon Napadoggin, and you can buy tickets for that yourself Thursday night in the TD main stage. So like being able to do that is like it, as a musician as well, who's not really active right now, but I've also played Harvest myself as a musician. I know how special it is, and for me, I always kind of get that warm feeling in my heart when we make it happen. We put them up on stage, and you see that reaction, and people come away with new fans. We have become an international festival in the sense of where we're getting our audience from. Obviously, I mean, I'd be a fool to say the majority of them come away. It is mostly Atlantic Canada with Fredericton, but every year we have certainly patrons from the States, the UK, Australia, like it's all over the place, really. And this is, again, due to 36 years of doing what we've been able to do, you know, and people come back to Harvest that lived here 20 years ago. They're living in Ontario now, but they come back every year for that family reunion, which is Harvest. So, being able to put the local artist there in front of that is quite something, because even if you live in Fredericton, we all know that not everyone's dialed into the local scene, and unfortunately. So if we can kind of help try to mitigate that and push that in their face, you know, we love doing it.
I can really feel your passion for this festival coming through. And I wanted to ask how you first got involved with it, maybe, and just why is it so important for you to be involved with it?
So I moved to Fredericton in 2012, and just from Moncton, so not that far down the road. And when I moved here, I thought, because it was in September, I was coming to university, and here's this music festival. Like, we all love music. But anyways, that's no claim. And so I was like, I'll volunteer, you know? Like, there's an opportunity here. I'll get to see some music. I also, that's the great thing about volunteering is, also, we have lots of volunteering opportunities up. Harvest is mostly is run by volunteers, and we wouldn't exist if we didn't have the 800 to 1,000 people that come together and literally put this festival on. So I volunteered in 2012, but you also get to see a show. That's the great part. Like, I got to see Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings and Charles Bradley for volunteering, right? You know, so that was my give back, and I got to see a show in exchange. It was fantastic. So that's the best part of volunteering, is not only like are you giving back and you're really you yourself are contributing to make it happen, you get to see a show, and that's great. So if you're looking for Bare Naked Ladies and the tickets are sold out, go see if the volunteering opportunities are still there. But anyway, so I did that in 2012. And I started working. I got to be friends with someone that worked there, and there was a summer student position opening up for the admin. And I think in about 2015, I applied, and I kind of got in that way. So that's just, you know, I was entry level, just running, helping out administrative kind of, you know, stuff of running the office. But right away, I loved it. And I mean, I'm working in the music business, so to speak. So like there's the utter fascination of seeing how everything works, like from putting the stages up, all the coordination, and then just the interesting things about the artist relationships and how that all comes together. But then I work with an incredible team. So not only, like, there's a few staff members. It is mostly volunteer run. But from the core volunteers to the other staff I worked with, I was like, this is very special. Like, this is a very special thing. And I knew that right away. And so I was, you know, a kind of a summer student for a few years. And then in 2020, oddly enough, had the opportunity to come on full time. So I had been. So I've been really lucky to have been able to be around for as long as I have. But it's the feeling I get when harvest happens, like, it's a high I'll never see. It's such a feeling of accomplishment, and it's incredible. You know, like, we're ramping up right now, and the amount of work everyone's doing right now is incredible, and we have so much more to do. But we know what we're working towards, and, like, knowing that is really special, because we know this is all going to create memories for others, and they're going to walk away talking about it, you know. And that's anyone in the event business. I've never really been outside of Harvest, never really been in it, but I can only assume if you get that feeling all the time, that's why you're in it. And that's kind of why I'm still here, you know. I love working with the people we get to work with, and our partners and suppliers, you know, we develop relationships with them.
For tickets, schedules, all the information people need, where should they go?
Yes, ticket schedules, everything you need to know. HarvestMusicFest.ca is your main hub online. You can get the schedule, the lineup there, tickets as well, everything there. Also, we're at the King's Place Mall. We have a Harvest store, so you can, that's where your pass pickup. So if you already bought passes, go down there. But tickets, drink tokens, merch, we have an incredible line of merch this year. All that can be found down at the King's Place Mall at the Harvest store, which is right across from Dollarama. In the venues as well, we'll have merch and, like, the drink tokens there. There's also tickets at the door, unless the show is sold out. Sometimes we try to have some at the door, but there's no guarantee. But again, tickets are at the door. So if you just want to walk down Friday night to go see Five Alarm Funk, tickets are at the door. So, that's how you'd find that stuff there.
Is there anything you were hoping to share or talk about that I might not have asked you about yet?
I guess if you don't know Harvest, if you know, you know, I don't need to sell it to you anymore, but if you're new to Fredericton, if you're a new student, if you're coming from outside of Fredericton to coming in, Harvest is an amazing place to understand what Fredericton can be. And I don't mean to take away from anything else, but, like, there's not many weeks like Harvest, you know, downtown. And if September you just arrive and you get to experience this, I think it's a good buy into why you're here. But you get to see an incredible amount of music, whether you want to buy a ticket or just taking the free staves. The pubs and clubs are filled, like, there's programming there, you know, everyone's it's a special experience that I you want to be a part of. And if we didn't program something you like this year, we probably will next year. That's the best part of Harvest, is every year there's something special. It might not be four nights for everyone. It might be one night. It's four nights for a lot of people, don't get me wrong. But we always, there's always something for someone there, even if they don't know it yet. Eddie Ninevolt, go listen.
If you're just tuning in, welcome to This Week in Fredericton, the show that takes a deep dive into the latest news from your community. We're on the air every Friday from 11:30 a.m. to noon, right here on CHSR 97.9 FM. Each week's episode is also posted in full on our website, chsrfm.ca. If you have a news tip, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at news@chsrfm.ca. Fredericton mountain bikers have a new place to test their skills. Yesterday, the City of Fredericton announced that nearly 12 kilometers of new mountain bike trails and an all-ages progressive bike skills park have officially opened at Killarney Lake Park. The city says the trails feature progressive and adaptive routes that accommodate all skill levels and abilities. The trails are designed to support year-round riding. In developing the trails and skills park, the city spent around $900,000. The first 6 kilometers of trail and a skills park were completed in 2025, and an additional 5.6 kilometers is expected to be completed this fall. When the trail network is fully built, there will be approximately 32 kilometers of single-track mountain bike trails. In sports news, the University of New Brunswick Reds have announced their first Athletes of the Week for the 2026-2027 season. Fourth-year mechanical engineering student Jillian Curtis, who plays on the women's soccer team, is the Female Athlete of the Week. Curtis scored twice on 6 shots in her team's first game of the season, a 4-3 loss against St. Mary's. Curtis then had an assist in a 2-2 draw against Dalhousie. Her coach, John Crossland, said Curtis had a really strong first weekend and brought the team energy and confidence. The UNB Reds women's soccer team have their home opener tonight against Memorial at 5 p.m. Fourth-year business administration student Liam McGowan, who plays on the men's soccer team, is the Male Athlete of the Week. In the team's first game, he set up the tying goal in a 2-2 draw against St. Mary's. Then, in a 4-2 win against Dalhousie, McGowan was a force in the midfield. His coach, Barry Morrison, said McGowan led the team and was ruthless in defense and fast and dangerous on the attack. The UNB Reds men's soccer team also has its home opener tonight. They'll play Memorial at 7:30 p.m. United Colors of Fashion, UCOF, will be hosting the Fredericton stop of its Fall Fashion Festival this weekend. UCOF is a community-focused organization that works to bring opportunities to designers, models, and youth across Atlantic Canada. The theme of this year's festival is From Roots to Runway, Designing Belonging, and explores how fashion serves as a powerful expression of identity, culture, and community connection. The Fredericton event begins at 2 p.m. tomorrow at the Cultural Center at 28 Saunders Street. Tickets are free, and more information about the festival can be found online at www.ucof-fashion.org. Thanks for listening to This Week in Fredericton, the show that's dedicated to bringing Fredericton residents news about their community and the people that shape it. We're on the air every Friday from 11:30 a.m. to noon, right here on CHSR 97.9 FM. Each week's episode is also posted in full on our website, chsrfm.ca. If you have a news tip, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at news@chsrfm.ca. I'm Zach Roman, and that was This Week in Fredericton.